Wow, what a powerful worship song, worship time, and good morning. Welcome to our first service today. I hope you come with expectancy, because I do come with expectancy. Last week we talked about Jacob's blessing. It was my plan to make that a one and done message. However, I kept coming back to Jacob's encounter with God. There was more than the midnight wrestling match with God. So today you get Jacob's visitation, part two in this series. And when I see this word visitation in the story I'm about to go through today, it reminds me of a funny story. There was a guy that was at a bar one night and he drank a little bit too much and he decides he's going to walk home, and tonight he's going to take a different route. He's going to cut through the cemetery, which is always a bad idea. So his house is on the other side of the cemetery. He thinks he'll take a shortcut. He's kind of wobbly anyway. And that day, of all days, they dug a grave. They hadn't put anybody in it, but the grave is empty and it's open. He walks through in the dark. What happens? He falls into the grave. And he struggles and he scratches and he tries to climb out, but he can't do it. So finally he decides, I'll just hunker down back in a corner and sleep, and they'll get me out in the morning. So he does so. He just lays down there and sleeps. Well, it would just so happen there's another guy at the same bar that night. And he decides he's going to take the same shortcut. He goes through the same cemetery, and guess what? He falls into the same hole. And he does the same thing the first guy. He doesn't see that it's dark. He doesn't see there's a guy back in the corner asleep. So he does what the first guy did. He starts scratching, clawing, trying to get out. All that scratching and clawing finally woke up the first guy. And the first guy said, "You'll never get out of here." But he did. Today's message, Jacob's visitation, reveals something. In fact, this is really what made me write part two. He had seven visitations, seven of them. He had seven encounters between Jacob and God, or a messenger of God. So today is part two of Jacob's blessing. I want to review the seven encounters between God and Jacob. And there's a reason all seven of them have applications for us, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, all seven. So let's start with number one. I'm going to put them up on the TV. Number one is going to be there just in a second now. Or not. Jacob's stairway to heaven. Jacob's stairway to heaven. Most of you, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that the stairway of heaven story. Well, let's dive in. Jacob's first encounter or visitation occurs just after he deceives his father Isaac and steals his brother Esau's blessing. We talked about that last week. Jacob's mother tells him to run for his life. Run for your life. Your brother Esau is going to kill you. And I want you to go to your uncle Laban's home in Paddan Aram. Go live with him. That's Rebekah's brother. So Jacob, understand, here's the context. He's unmarried. He's all alone as he leaves his father Isaac's home, and he runs from the murderous threats of his angry brother Esau. That's when Jacob has his first visitation from God. Jacob is going to see a stairway going up and down from heaven. Genesis 28, verse 10. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp, and he stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven. And he saw angels, the angels of God, going up and down the stairway. The Bible doesn't say exactly, but you're going to be shocked by what I'm about to tell you. Jacob is 77 years old when this happens. You can back into the math and you can see he's 77 years old. He's unmarried and he's running for his life. He's all alone. He's on the run. The Bible says Jacob was 91 years old when his next to the last son, Joseph, was born. And I have to wonder, was Jacob a mama's boy who didn't want to leave home? He's not the hunter, that's Esau. He's out hunting game. Jacob's home cooking. And he's 77 years old. He's not married. But now he's alone and running for his life. This was before this stairway to heaven event. This is before the two wives, Leah and Rachel. This is before the 12 sons of Israel. And Jacob sees a stairway to heaven with angels going up and down between earth and heaven. Jacob has no idea. He has no idea that God has this incredible plan for his life and future family. He has no idea what Isaac's blessing is going to do to him. And the blessing is starting to manifest. Jacob is just trying to stay alive at this point, and then it happens. It begins with an angelic stairway, but now for the very first time, Jacob will hear from God directly. And I find it amazing that he's 77 years old and for the first time. So all of you, here's an application for everybody. Do you think you're too old to hear from God and change your whole direction in life? He's 77 and he's getting his first visitation from God. Jacob is going to hear a word from God that will tie him directly to the covenant God made with his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. Verse 13. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he, the Lord, said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions. How many kids does he have when this happens? Zero. He's 77. What? You're going to have so many kids, you won't be able to count them. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. It won't just be a group of Jewish people in the Middle East. No, what I'm going to do through you will affect the planet. Everybody on earth. I am the same God of your grandfather, Abraham. I am the same God of your father, Isaac. The ground you're laying on right now belongs to you. It's God's earth. I guess he can give it to whomever he chooses. It belongs to you. You will have more children than you can count, and they will spread out all over this area. You and your future descendants will be the conduit through which God will bless all the peoples. And listen, all the nations of the earth. This fourth announcement from God, the conduit through which God will bless the nations, reveals God's plan to bless the Gentile nations with the same blessing he's going to give to Abraham and Isaac. Somebody say hallelujah. Let me stop for a moment and ask, how incredible is this first visitation from God? He's 77 years old. He thinks he's running for his life, and quite frankly, he's running into a new life, a totally new life. It's not over. Now God will speak personally to Jacob. God will give Jacob a covenant promise. And all of this, I'm backing into this story. All of this is before he gets this name, Israel. Verse 15. What's more, this is God speaking to Jacob. I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. And one day I will bring you back to this land. He's in Canaan. He's in the promised land, but he's leaving. One day I'll bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I've finished giving you everything I have promised you. Remember, Jacob is all alone. He's on the run. Can you see how comforting this visitation would be? I am with you. I will protect you, and one day I'll bring you home. I'm with you. I'll protect you. One day I'll bring you home. Any application, church? I'm with you. I will protect you. One day I will bring you home. Jacob wakes. And here's my point to this. It's like Jacob has just been born again. He's 77 years old, and for all practical purposes, he's born again. Absolutely born again. God is with me, and God has a wonderful plan for my life. The concept of being born again centers on this simple truth. God has announced from the stairway, he has come down the steps to meet with me and tell me that he is with me and he has a wonderful plan for my life. I'm with you, I will protect you, and one day I'll bring you back home. It's like he's got a new life. And Jacob responds by faith to God's plan. By faith. He has to believe that this vision, this dream is real. And he does. He responds by faith. Granddaddy Abraham believed. My daddy Isaac believed. And now Jacob believes. Believes what? This word of God. This word of God is real. And he believes it. Go to verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't even aware of it, but he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway of heaven. The next morning, Jacob got up early. He took the stone he had rested his head against, and he set it up or upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it, and he named the place Bethel, which means house of God. Although the name of the nearby village was Luz. And then Jacob made this vow. Here's his vow of faith. God has spoken. Jacob must now respond. Listen to his response. He made this vow. If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God. I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. Jacob named the place Bethel. It is today in the West Bank of Israel, 12 miles north of Jerusalem. It's a real place. I think it's kind of funny that the first thing Jacob does after this visitation is build an altar, pour olive oil on it, and pledge 10% of all future blessings back to God as worship. Isn't that interesting? So let me ask all of you a question. I'll ask it to me before I ask it to you. Let me ask you, was that your natural response after you were born again and God visited and offered you a new and wonderful life? That I plan to give you 10% of everything I have from this day forward because what you just gave me is the biggest gift I've ever received in my life. Was that your response? Church, that's an application. Visitation number two. Ah, they're on the screen. These are in order. They're in order. He's had his Stairway to Heaven event, and now prosperity and favor. Let me give you some context for this next visitation. By the time we get to visitation number two, Jacob has two wives. Their names are Leah and Rachel, and he has 11 sons. Benjamin's not been born yet. Jacob has pretty much become a slave to his father-in-law, Uncle Laban. Laban was an even bigger deceiver than Jacob, if that's possible. I think that's kind of poetic justice. Laban had deceived Jacob. I don't have time to get into the story, but I'm gonna give you the highlights. Laban had deceived Jacob to work 7 years for his daughter, Rachel. But instead of giving him his daughter, Rachel, on the wedding night, he slips in a substitute, the other daughter, Leah. Now, I got to tell you, every time I read that story, I got to think to myself, was it really dark? Do you all talk? How do you slip in another woman on the night of your wedding and you don't even notice till the morning? I tell you, when I read the Bible, I believe every word. I don't understand it all. Jacob then, he's married the wrong woman. Jacob then worked another 7 years for Leah, for the one he was supposed to get, and found that Laban was cheating him now with the flocks. Think about it. Jacob now has two wives and 11 kids, and he's a slave. He's a slave to his father-in-law. His father-in-law is cheating him, cheated him for the two daughters, the two wives, and now he's cheating him with the flocks itself. And he must wonder, am I really under God's blessing? Do I really have this favor of God that he revealed to me in the Stairway to Heaven event? There was trouble brewing in this family. And God knows it, and God makes a plan for Jacob and his family to return to the land of his fathers, to Canaan, the promised land. And if you'll notice, that was part of the Stairway to Heaven blessing. One day you'll come home. Do you remember the promise? I've given you and your descendants this land, and you will return to this land. Well, when he's with his father-in-law, he's not in that land. He's in another land, but God is making plans for him to go home. This visitation, number two, begins with God's call for Jacob to go home. Now, let me give you some context. He's been in Paddan Aram for 20 years. In that 20 years, he's accumulated two wives and 11 sons. Here we go, verse 1, chapter 31. But Jacob soon learned that Laban's sons were grumbling about him. Jacob has robbed our father of everything, they said. He has gained all of his wealth at our father's expense. And Jacob began to notice a change in Laban's attitude toward him. And then the Lord, here it comes, the visitation. The Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your father and grandfather, and to your relatives there, and I will be with you." So Jacob called Rachel and Leah out of the field where he was watching his flock, and he said to them, "I have noticed that your father's attitude toward me has changed, but the God of my father has been with me. You know how hard I have worked for your father, but he has cheated me, changing my wages 10 times. But God has not allowed him to do me any harm. For if he said, 'The speckled animals will be your wages,' the whole flock began to produce speckled young. And when he changed his mind and said, 'No, it's the striped animals will be your wages,' then the whole flock produced striped young. In this way, God has taken your father's animals and given them to me." Listen carefully. Jacob is under the blessing. He's under the favor of God. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is the way God treats his children. He's under the blessing. God promised Jacob at the stairway to heaven scene that he would always be with him and protect him, even from an evil father-in-law. And Jacob then explains the visitation and the prosperity of God to his two wives. Verse 10. One time during the mating season, I had a dream, and I saw that the male goats mating with the females were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then in my dream, the angel of God said to me, Jacob, and I replied, yes, here I am. The angel said, look up and you will see that only the streaked, speckled, and spotted males are mating with the females of your flock. For I have seen how Laban has treated you. God is watching your circumstance. I have seen how Laban has treated you, and I am the God who appeared to you at Bethel, the place where you anointed the pillar of stone and made your vow to me. He remembers your vows, your promises. Now, get ready to leave this country and return to your land of birth. It's time to go home. 20 years. It's time to go home. God is keeping his covenant promise with Jacob. And how old is he? He's 97. These are important numbers. He's 97. Jacob takes his family and herds, and he secretly slips out of town. He doesn't tell his father-in-law. He knows what his father-in-law is going to do. He's going to try to stop him. He's going home. Jacob had been with Laban 20 years, and a lot can happen in 20 years. Jacob will leave Haran with two wives, 11 sons, and a multitude of sheep and goats. He's going home to the land of his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. We call it the Promised Land. Do you know who lives in the Promised Land? Esau. We touched on that story last week. But before Jacob will meet Esau, before Jacob will wrestle with God and receive a name change called Israel, there is another visitation. Number three. Visitation number three. Reassurance. You know, after 20 years, you might need some reassurance. You know, after the last time, I can't even hardly remember the last time he visited me. Sometimes God will just come with some reassurance. This one is short, and it's sandwiched between Jacob's running from Laban and running into Esau. It's only two verses, but before I read them, I need to give you some context. Laban has returned home from the fields to find out that Jacob has taken his wives and flocks and left town. Laban is furious, and he gathers his family, and he takes off after Jacob, and he's going to bring Jacob and all of them back by force. And Laban is about to catch up with Jacob when he gets his own. Laban's going to get his own visitation from God. You have to love this part. Verse 23. So he, Laban, the evil father-in-law, he gathered a group of his relatives and set out in hot pursuit. He caught up with Jacob 7 days later in the hill countries of Gilead. But the previous night, God had appeared to Laban the Aramean in a dream and told him, I'm warning you. Leave Jacob alone. Is that awesome? He's coming to harm Jacob, to force him back into bondage. Leave him alone. He's mine. Do you know what the first thing I thought when I read that last sentence? God's promise during the first visitation. That first visitation. So I'm going to repeat the stairway to heaven promise. Verse 15, chapter 28. What's more, God speaking, I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go. Does that have any application for us? I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go. And one day I will bring you back to this land. Everything God said at that stairway to heaven event is happening. All of it. I'll be with you, I'll bless you, I'll prosper you, I'll keep you out of danger, and I'll bring you back home. It's happening, all of it. I will not leave you until I finish giving you everything I've promised you. I said earlier, that scene from Jacob was like being born again. Everything changed. And that scene happened when he was 77, and now he's 97, and he's going home. And God's still there. God's still protecting him. God's still carrying out every covenant promise. He hasn't left him. So let me stop in the Jacob story and ask all of you in the church a question. Did you get any promises from God when you were born again? When Jesus came down the stairway of heaven and he came into your life and offered you a new and wonderful eternal life, did you get any promises? Yes, you did. Did you believe them? Some of you would say, yeah. Some of you are not even sure. Let me just give you one. Let me give you a one. No, I'm going to give you two. Leave him alone. He belongs to me. I hear God to Satan, leave him alone. He's mine. That's what he did to Jacob. Laban was going to harm him. Leave him alone. He's mine. But here's the one I want you to get, because it's universal. In Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus is getting ready to go back to the Father to sit at the right hand of the Father. And he says these words, teach these new disciples. He's talking to his followers. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this one thing. I am with you always. Somebody say hallelujah. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm warning you. Leave Jacob alone. I'm warning you. The church belongs to me. Laban does catch up with Jacob, but he's afraid to touch him because of the visitation and the warning of God. And Jacob and Laban, here's what they do. If you study it, it's kind of cool. They piled up stones as boundary markers between them. So they put some rocks and said, here, you stay on that side, I'll stay on this side. Laban, you're over there, I'm over here. Don't cross the rocks. God said, don't cross the rocks. Each vowed not to cross over the boundary to harm the other. Why? Because both of them are afraid of God. It is in this context, Laban is behind him and Esau is in front of him, that this next visitation comes. Visitation number four, God's camp. It's in the context that God's camp is identified. Verse 1, chapter 32. As Jacob started on his way again, angels, notice the word is plural. Angels of God came to meet him. And when Jacob saw them, the angels, he exclaimed, this is God's camp. So he named the place Mahanaim. This was a short visitation. And what do you take from this one? That there's two camps here. And by the way, did you notice there's a bunch of angels in this scene? Two camps. God is there with an army of angels, and Jacob is there with his family and herds. Two camps. God and a multitude of angels, and Jacob with a multitude of family and flocks. Esau's in front of him, and Jacob fears that Esau is going to kill him. Laban is behind the rock pile, and he also wants to kill him. Two camps, but listen, God's army is there. Multiple angels are there. Is that comforting to you? It is to me. There's an enemy in front of me, and there's an enemy behind me. But there's another camp in the scene, God's camp. He's traveling with Jacob. He's traveling with me. Now for the next visitation, the one we covered in detail last week. the midnight wrestling match. We covered it last week, so unless you played hooky, you know about that one. So I'm going to jump that one and take you next to visitation number 6. Jacob arrives home in Bethel. Bethel's where it started, the stairway to heaven. He's going to go back home. Yes, Jacob had to face his fears and his brother Esau in the promised land. We talked about that last week. And I remember telling you that this verse, I want to read it again, made me weep when I typed it for last week's message. He was terrified at the thought of seeing Esau after 20 years. Verse 3. Then Jacob went on ahead, and as he approached his brother, he bowed to the ground 7 times before him. And then Esau ran and met him to meet him and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they both wept. So here's my question to all of you. Have you ever wrestled with God in a sleepless night? I have. Have you ever wrestled with God in a sleepless night only to find out that God had already taken care of it for you the next day? I have. Worried about something and it goes in your mind and it just keeps circling. You want it to stop, but you can't get it stopped. I feel like that was Jacob wondering, what's Esau going to do to me? But he has the favor of God. I will protect you, I'll be with you, and I'll bring you back home. But Esau's there. Jacob was terrified at the thought of meeting his brother Esau after 20 years, but they ended up kissing and weeping together as Jacob's family finally comes back to Bethel, the promised land. Bethel, the place where Jacob's first visitation, the stairway to heaven, occurred. This 6th visitation is in 2 parts. This is part 1 of the 6th visitation. Genesis 35, verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob told everyone in his household, get rid of all your pagan idols, purify yourselves, and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel. Do you see what's happening? You better clean up before you get there. God's there. That's where I met him. Anything pagan, idolatry, get rid of it. Wash your clothes. Prepare yourself. Because he knows what happened in Bethel 20 years before. Where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all their pagan idols and earrings, and he buried them under the great tree near Shechem. Remember that, okay? That'll be important a little later. He's taken all the pagan idolatry that he picked up in this other land, Paddan Aram, and he's taken all of that pagan idolatry stuff and he buried it under a tree in Shechem. As they set out, a terror from God spread over the people and all the towns of that area, so no one attacked Jacob's family. Everybody's afraid of them. They don't know why they're afraid of them. They're just afraid of them. So that he has this force field around him as he travels home to Bethel, to the promised land. Can you see it? One man, Jacob, afraid and on the run, has now become a great people. And now a terror of God is spread among the people living in the promised land as Jacob arrives in the area. And Jacob and his family have purified themselves of idols and prepared themselves to meet God at Bethel, the very place where Jacob first had his covenant agreement with God. Verse 9, now that Jacob has returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again at Bethel. God blessed him, saying, your name is Jacob, but you will not be called Jacob any longer. From now on, your name will be Israel. This is a confirmation of what he had in that night of wrestling. So God renamed him Israel, and then God said, do not read over this. God said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. You, Jacob, will become a great nation. And even many nations are going to come out of you. He's 97 years old. Even many nations, kings will be among your descendants. He has no idea that down the road is King David coming out of him. Kings will come from you. And I will give you. You ready? Does this have any application today in the Middle East? And I will give you the land I once gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants after you. And then God went up from the place where he had spoken to Jacob. That land is still a war today. Same land. 20 years, and Jacob is back where it all started in Bethel, the stairway to heaven. Jacob started with nothing, and now his life is filled with family and divine purpose. A family has been born of God. Listen carefully. What's in this story? A family has been born of God. He didn't have any family. He didn't have any wives. He didn't have any kids. He didn't have any future. He's running for his life. A family has been born of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. They are the children of God. A nation has been born of God. A nation we refer to even today as Israel. But maybe more importantly, a kingdom. Anybody listening? A kingdom has been born of God. A kingdom that will include us. It includes us. At one point in our life, we were like Jacob, running and afraid, without hope and without God in the world. And then a stairway from heaven opened in front of us, and there's a man named Jesus who came down. And he offers us covenant promises. Covenant promises. This is our story. This is not some history lesson. This is our story too. Jacob was born again at the stairway to heaven. He was running and afraid. I was born again when the one from heaven named Jesus came and entered into a covenant with me. Surely I will be with you, Terry Cooper, until the end of the age. I will be with you. I will protect you. I will bring you home on the last day. Jacob started with nothing. I started with nothing. Do you remember what Jesus? This isn't just an Old Testament example. Let's fast forward from Jacob. Let's fast forward almost 2,000 years, and now Jesus is here, and he's starting to pick his 12 closest disciples, 12 apostles. He's picking them one at a time. And he gets to Philip, and Philip gets to Nathanael. You know the story? Nathanael's story, Jacob's story is my story. And if you're in Christ today, it's your story. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, there's only one that has come down from heaven. What did Jacob see? And what's Jesus going to reveal to Nathanael? There's a stairway between heaven and earth. And there's only one who is capable of transcending the stairway and calling people to heaven. One. That's Jacob's story. And look at how Jesus reveals the same story to Nathanael, one of the 12. John 1:48. How do you know about me? Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. And then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus asked him, do you believe this just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. What would be greater? Then he said, I tell you the truth, Nathanael. you will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on what? The Son of Man. The One. You ready? The One who is the stairway between heaven and earth. One. This is our story. Can you see it today? Jesus opened the stairway to heaven. He is the One who is the stairway between heaven and earth. And on the earth, we were like that funny story as I started today. We had fallen into a grave. We were captives, slaves to sin, death, grave, hell. We're the guy lying in the grave pit, unable to crawl our way out. And Satan says, you'll never get out of here. And the stairway opens. And the Son of Man descends from heaven to the earth. And He invites you to come out of the grave. And you're born again. You have a new life. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're now eternal. So here's my closing. There's one more part to Jacob's sixth visitation. Genesis 35, 14. It's very, very similar to visitation number one. Jacob set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him. Then he poured wine over it as an offering to God and anointed the pillar with olive oil. And Jacob named the place Bethel, which means house of God, because God had spoken to him there. Do you remember where we were when God, do you remember where you were when God spoke to you? Do you remember where you were when you were born again? This whole story starts when Jacob is born again. He's got a whole new life. He's going to get a new name. He's going to get a new future. He's going to get a new covenant. He's going to get a new everything. Where were you? Surely you couldn't have been born again and not know it. Can you identify it? I can. I can tell you where I was. Everything changed. Six visitations and six summaries. There are some other small visitations. I don't propose this is all inclusive. Oh, but by the way, oh, this is big. This is big. There's a number seven. It is brief. It is a visitation between Jacob and God. Number seven is, I'm going with you to Egypt. Please get this. He's in the promised land, but you're going to Egypt. It's at the end of Jacob's life, some 30 years after Jacob comes home and confronts Esau, when Joseph, not Jacob, Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob, sends his 11 brothers back from Egypt to fetch his dad, Jacob. How old is he? He's now 130 years old. So here comes Joseph's 11 brothers. They're coming back to the promised land to get Jacob. Jacob's 130, and they're saying, Joseph's alive. He's the prime minister of Egypt. There's going to be food and prosperity, but you got to go with us to Egypt. He doesn't want to go to Egypt. He wants to see Joseph, but he didn't want to go to Egypt. Genesis 46, verse 1. Visitation number 7, by the way. During the night, God spoke to Jacob in a vision. Jacob, Jacob, he called. Here I am, Jacob replied. I am God, the God of your father, the voice said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make your family into a great nation. I will go with you down to Egypt, and I will bring you, you ready? I will bring you back again, but you will die in Egypt with Joseph attending you. Jacob's family has 70 members when he joined Joseph in Egypt at the age of 130. And you know what I say? What a story. Wow. What a story. The whole world hinges on this story. We can estimate that Jacob was around 97 years old when he returned to Bethel with his two wives and a bunch of kids after running from Laban and reconciling with Esau. He's 97 years old. We fast forward some 30 years in the Promised Land, and Jacob ended up in a worldwide famine with his coat of many colors son Joseph, storing up food down the road in Egypt. And I say, oh, what it means to live under the blessing. What it is to live under the favor of God. I will not let you go until you bless me. That's what Jacob told God in the wrestling match. And wow, is he under the blessing. Jacob died in Egypt at the age of 147. It's in the Bible. They embalmed his body. Please listen to this. You want to know how this story ends? Jacob dies in Egypt. In Egypt, not the Promised Land. But God had told him, go to Egypt and I'll bring you home. Huh? I'm old. I'll bring you home. Jacob died in Egypt at the age of 147. They embalmed his body. And listen, his 12 sons took Jacob's body back to the Promised Land and buried him in Hebron, in the same cave where Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Leah, Rebecca had been buried, in the Promised Land of Israel. They brought him home. Fulfilling the promise of the seventh visitation, 17 years earlier, I will go with you down to Egypt, and I will bring you home again. To the detail. And some 400 years later, Moses, you know that guy? Some 400 years later, Moses carried the bones of Joseph, Jacob's son, back to the Promised Land and buried Joseph's bones where? In Shechem. The very place where they took all of their idolatry and buried them under a tree in Shechem. It is estimated that the children of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, were 2 million when Moses the deliverer arrives in Egypt. And that's it. That's it. Part one, Jacob's blessing. Part two, Jacob's visitation. And part three is your story. It's you. Part one and part two, and you are part three. Is this your story? The favor of God? Do you want God to write you into the story of Abraham? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are you in this story today? Is this your born-again family today? Yes or no? There's not an option. This is yes or no. I will not let you go until you bless me. There is a stairway from heaven. There is only one who can come down and offer you this blessed favor of God. So here's the last scripture. It's in the New Testament. It's to the Gentile church. That's us. That's us. Galatians 3, verse 6. In the same way, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, who's in the story? The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward. Here it is. I'm telling you the story today. The scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scriptures look forward to the time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. And God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ shared the same blessing. The same blessing that Abraham received because of his faith. I'll ask Chad to come on out for the invitation. Last week I talked that Jacob was required to wrestle with man and with God. And so are you. We wrestle with man. We wrestle with God. It's part of the calling. Jesus said, count the cost. But I need to tell you this today. In the story of Jacob and the story of Nathaniel, one thing becomes clear. There is a stairway to heaven. There is a way for man to transcend this life and enter heaven. But one must come down for us to make the stairs. He is Jesus. He came and Jacob wrestled with him, and he came and revealed to Nathaniel, I'm the one who is the stairway. And today, has he come for you? When he comes for you, you are born again. Your old life's gone. Your new life is wonderful. But it will not be easy. You may have to go down to Egypt. You may have to fight with man. There may be a spiritual war. You find yourself in the middle. But in the end, I will be with you. I will protect you. I will bless you. And on the last day, I'll bring you home. So we're going to sing this invitation time, and I have no idea what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. But if he's calling you to be born again, if he's calling you into this covenant relationship, yes, Lord, is the only answer. Yes, Lord. Let's stand.